In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is the thing we do most, brothers and sisters? From a Christian perspective, it is to not be in Christ, to not be with God, to not be with our thoughts with Him, with our prayers with Him, to not be in the Spirit. Another way of saying this is we waste time. How much time do you spend every day that is really fruitful? How many things do you do that really matter? Talking about when you do something for someone else, when you pray, when you are compassionate, when you're humble. How many times do you do things that matter? And how much of what you do during the day doesn't matter a bit, doesn't do anything good for your soul, is just wasteful. We waste a lot of time. And both the epistle and the gospel talk about it in different ways. Of course, the epistle quite blatantly says we must redeem the time for the days are evil. We must be not unwise, but be wise. That says that we have no excuse for our lack of understanding. We are to continually become more understanding. So if you don't know the same things 2 years from now that you don't know now, you've made some big mistakes. And God will judge you for that. What you don't know now, you can't know. Not at this moment. But you should know it soon. I'm talking about the things of truth, the things of God. We should be growing in wisdom every day. That is the treasure that God gives us. To know the truth. To be the truth. Since Jesus Christ said He was the truth, and we are to become like Him. So what you don't know now, you had better learn. Whether it be in a week, or a month, or 10 years, or 100 years. If God gives you that amount of time. Time is certainly something that God has given us. In this life, in order to do certain things. We were born in order to know Him. The way to know Him is to be like Him. And it is a difficult task because we have much misunderstanding. We don't see things clearly. So we must work on seeing them clearly. It takes a lot of effort. It's not something that we can just do occasionally. It's not like we can just study for a test the night before. This is our life. And we are to redeem it. To redeem the time God has given us. Let's look at the rich man and see the mistakes he made. He made two large mistakes. And they are the same mistakes that we are capable of making. And indeed, let's admit that we make them. Not about money here. It's not that he was rich. This is just used as part of the vehicle of the parable. This is not a parable about money. This is a parable about someone who didn't know what was blessing and what was curse. He thought because he had certain things for his body that he was blessed. He made a deep mistake, one that we make all the time. Not understanding what is good and what is bad for us. We equate pleasure with what is good. Substance with what is good. God equates truth with what is good. And holiness with what is good. If something sends us to the truth, it is good. If we live according to the truth, it is good no matter what else happens to us. This man did not understand that. This is a common error. And if you look in your life, you'll see that you make this error too. Just look at the choices you make, even today. And you'll find that you make many choices that are very foolish, that are not good, that might have been convenient at the time or pleasurable at the time, but were not the right choice. So this is one of the mistakes that this man made. That he didn't understand what was good for him. And then the other mistake that he made, and one that we make too, is he didn't continually try to be rich towards God. The parable at the end says, So is he that lay up a treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Speaking of the rich man who had torn down his barns so that he could have more produce. And in the midst of that, the angel comes to him and says, Fool, your soul is required of you tonight. So all of it went to naught. And it went to someone else. So he did not lay up treasure towards God. Don't think that it's just money. The treasure that the Lord wants you to lay up is humility and holiness. Remember a place where the Lord says, I want your heart? This is what the Lord wants from us. And this is what makes us rich. No matter what condition in life we are in, if our hearts are with God, we are rich. But we don't understand this. Because we see a whole lot of stuff in the world that confuses us. Things that we want. That's why the Lord, in another place, talked about the eye. And He said, if your eye be single or whole, then the whole body is whole. Because if the eye is not whole, it looks to things that it wants that are not of God. And it desires them. And it either obtains them or tries to obtain them or becomes distracted by them and doesn't do the things that are necessary. The things that are good, the things that are right and holy. This rich man had an opportunity because of what God had given him to be rich towards God. Of course, yes, he could have given of his produce to the poor, and he should have. But that is only the external manifestation of what should have been going on inside of him, which is to be with God in all things, to become holy, to become good. That is what you're called to do. You remember that tomorrow morning when the alarm clock rings. This is your task today. To be holy. To be wise. Not to be unwise, but to have understanding about spiritual things. And everything you do is spiritual. Or should be. When you act in an unspiritual way, you are like this rich man. So you have things, perhaps that give you pleasure, perhaps that make you happy, but they don't do anything whatsoever for your soul. I think also we sometimes do things that don't really particularly give us pleasure or make us happy. We just have bad habits that we don't know how to be with God. How long do you pray every day? Do you pray consistently every day? Do you read the scriptures every day? Do you read them and really try to find what they are telling you about yourself? When you read this parable, do you see yourself at all in this rich man? I guarantee you, there is some of this rich man in you. Not because I judge you personally, but because of human nature. Our nature rebels against God. It rebels against truth and peace. And we have to bridle it. We have to force ourselves with prayer, with fasting, with humbling ourselves, with saying in the beginning of the day, all that matters is that I am a Christian today. That's it. Nothing else matters. That's how I'll be rich. And this man did not know that. He didn't really sin by tearing down his barns to put his produce in them. He sinned by the fact that he didn't see that this was God blessing him and that God wanted him to love him above all things. He could have still taken of the produce from the bigger barns and given it to the poor. He could have still gone to the temple and thanked God for his blessings. He could have still prayed and read the Psalter every day and humbled himself and not acted with that peculiar kind of arrogance that sometimes the rich have. He could have done all those things, but instead he wanted to take his ease and eat and drink and be merry. And he lost his soul. Now perhaps we'd say, well, I don't do those things. You know, I'm not a partier. I don't drink a lot. I don't, you know, I'm just a regular person. You know, I pray and I go to church and I have a family and everything. But look inside your soul. What really matters to you? You can say you love God, but if you read every time you're supposed to read the communion prayers, the preparation prayers, you should, when you read this particular psalm, it should resonate in you Every man is a liar, it says in the psalm for the preparation prayers. Don't you feel that in yourself? You say that you love God, and yet what do? Still there's pride, and there's envy, and there's arrogance, and there's laziness, and there's lust, and all the rest. Is that loving God? Is that being wise? That sounds like being unwise to me, doesn't it to you? The rich man didn't see his faults because he just saw what was pleasurable to him. It wasn't just that all he wanted was pleasure. Don't take that from this parable. He might not have been a bad person. He might have given to the poor, and he might have been kind in many other ways. But he didn't know that every second of his life is so that he can know God better. So that he can become more like God. We were created for holiness. That's all that matters. And he didn't know that. And the apostle talks about people that don't know that too. And tells us we must walk circumspectly. Not as fools. The rest of the world walks like that. The rest of the world doesn't give every ounce, every piece of blood to God. You know, I was once told about the candle by someone in a sermon. That when we light a candle, we should be thinking that we are giving our blood to God. The fire of the candle, the heat, the warmth. That we should be giving our fire, our heat, our warmth, our blood to God, everything. Meaning everything we do should be for God. Now, of course, we are sinners and we don't always do this. But it is what we should do. It is what we should strive for. It is what should be on your agenda. Your agenda for tomorrow is be a better Christian. And for the next day too. That is the one thing that should be on your list. That's all that's important. Oh yes, there's all kinds of daily things we need to do. But we must remember what we were born for. The rich man didn't remember this. And he lost his life. And people, we can forget it too and lose our lives. Remember all the parables that tell us that there can be people in the church that are lost. The tares, right? The wheat and the tares? Absolutely. We can lose our life without even knowing it because we do not focus on the things that make us have treasure towards God. God doesn't care about money or possessions or influence or status or even the things that we so much do. He cares about who we are, who we become. That is the treasure that God looks for. That is the only thing that builds up treasure for us. If we become a more humble person, a more compassionate person, if we see the needs of the others more readily. How many times do we not even know someone is in need because we're oblivious to it? We can say, well, I didn't understand, I didn't know. I don't know whether or not God will judge us for all of those things. I think some of them for sure. Because many times we should know. We must walk circumspectly. The person walking circumspectly is always thinking, is always ready. And then therefore sees things when they become apparent. Now we just kind of bebop along. That is not the way to save your soul. So the rich man is an example of really many things that we do too. It's not about money and grain. It is about whether or not what we see as valuable and whether or not we pursue what is valuable. All that matters is whether or not you become like Christ. That's it. Nothing else is going to matter in your life. In the end of your life, that's all that matters, is how much did you try? If the Lord sees that you tried, He will say, good and faithful servant. But if He sees that you were distracted by much things, then you won't hear those words. So the rich man should censure us here, who didn't know what was good and what was bad. And we should listen to the words of the apostle. We must walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore we should not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And redeem the time. We only have so much. May God help us to live this way and remember that every day, all that matters is that we lay up treasure for ourselves towards God and nothing else. Amen.